Yeah. So the gentleman comes to me, you may have the rest of your money, I'm putting up dishes for you. He did a pretty good job for cleaning up dishes. They came up and they gave our time because, you know why? You know why we brought college kids in? Because they speak the language of the kids. They speak, I'm 44 years old. And my wife is older than this. I married an old woman, so I was doing that. She's young at heart. Oh, come on. She's proud of that age. I don't speak all the language. I'm not even sort of a little bit talk to them, but I don't speak the language. I have to learn a new language when I talk to kids. I got to learn a new language. I went to Germany. And Germans, surprise, don't speak English. He's working at God. I'm going to try to go. He's looking at the other side of the shame. I mean, he's supposed to understand the case. You're a house kind of other one. You want something? You know what I'm saying? Right! You got to learn a foreign language. So we don't have to learn a foreign language. Brandon speaks with his hands. Brandon speaks with his hands, which some of us do pretty well ourselves. It's just not a common language. Maybe it's time for us to learn how to speak so we can communicate with one another. Because communication is one of the most important aspects of what we do here at the family. I don't know why you're here this morning. You came here because, I'm just going to go out on a limb here. You came here this morning because you have a felt a need to be here. I don't know if that was a strong need or a gentle nudge, but you felt the need to be here. And you may be like a lot of us, and I'll admit it, some of the time I'm the same way. I don't know why. I don't know why. I just know I need to be here. You felt that feeling like I don't know why. I just feel like I ought to be there. You ever feel that? You felt that before. I'm just going somewhere and you think, should I go there? Should I not go there? I just feel like I need to be there. Now, I don't know exactly why. My prayer for you today is that you know the why, that you'll know the why that you're here. Unfortunately, we don't always get to know the why. Right? We sometimes just do things because it's a gut reaction, because we know it's the right thing to do. We don't know why it's the right thing to do. We don't know exactly why. And we've all been in those situations, especially if you're a parent or if you're a school teacher. You've been in those situations where you're like, why in the world am I here? How many school teachers have you got? Yes. How many times have you said, why in the world am I putting up with this garbage? Right? For so much money, yeah, that's what it is. It's all that money that's flowing in. That ain't happening. Why? But if you're a teacher and you've been teaching for any length of time, you probably also had an experience with that kid that came back at one point in time and said, you know what? If I was in your class, you taught me something. And then all of a sudden the why is there, right? And you're like, that's it. Lynn and I were blessed to have a small experience like that this past 2 weeks ago. Lee Lehman, guy we knew back in college. He came over and spent about 4 months with us in Germany. He was in between college degrees. He just finished his degree in music or something like that. He was going back for a master's in opera. This guy does not look like an opera singer. He looks more like a chiseled, like buff guy. He's like, and I was kind of nervous the whole time he was there because I mean, I'm newly married, you know, and I'm a little insecure. I'm like, he's kind of hitting on that. So I like this guy so much, but he was a nice guy. But we saw him at NCYM. We've seen him a couple times. This time, first time we actually got to spend time with him. We got to talk to him. He goes, you know, I've been doing youth ministry for 14, 15 years, 17 years now. He's been on the board of NCYM. He's helped organize training for other youth ministers. He does some phenomenal stuff. Follow his Twitter. He does some crazy stuff with kids. And he said, you know, he goes, I was going from music to opera. He said, and I had 4 months to kill. And someone said, you want to go teach in Germany? We need a teacher. All of a sudden, instantly, he came over there in just a short time. He said, I did it. And I went over there. And I said, yeah. And he said, I came back. And he said, I decided, I'm not singing opera. I'm going to do ministry. And it wasn't anything that Lynn and I did special. It was the fact that we happened to be there. We didn't know why we were there. But we were there because he could be there, and he got exposed to a whole different life in the church that he's never seen in an American congregation. And it changed his life. And he said, listen, I just want to thank you guys for meeting him, because it made a difference for us. 17 years later, suddenly we have a why for the what. We knew what we were doing. We didn't know really why we held. My prayer for you is that you know the why. Why are you here today? Why are you with us today? My prayer for you would be that you always, can you imagine living like that? Always knowing the why for everything. Every moment that you can do. Wouldn't it be awesome to know the why?
Oh, it would be. Trust me. Yeah, man. Sorry. I want to know why all the time.
Yeah. Know the why. We know the how, we know the what. That would be awesome. And even if you don't know the why, here's the next thing. It's really okay. Even if you don't know the why, my prayer for you is that you have the peace that Philippians calls the peace that passes understanding. Because beyond understanding, the why exists. We don't understand it, but we have peace nevertheless to know that what we're doing, even when we don't always know. And that's my prayer, that we live that way every single day. The peace which passes understanding, and Philippians says, by that says, which will guard your hearts. That's the peace in knowing, yeah, I don't always understand why, but I have peace in knowing it's okay. It's the right thing to do, and that's what guards our hearts, even when we don't know where our hearts really are. Right? I'm going to get you guys out this afternoon. We're going to watch some football this afternoon. And I'm not sure where my heart lies right now.
Arizona or
Kansas? I don't know. Now, I do know the second one is Denver. I mean, my heart's all the way in Denver. That's where it's going to be. I'm a Denver guy because my wife is a Patriots person.
I don't know why.
Cheers. Anyway, so we're going to Denver, right? That's even when your heart doesn't know where it is, you don't know where your heart is. Peace passes understanding is what guards our hearts. There's a guy, Victor Frankl. If you've never read anything from Victor Frankl, I don't know who he is. I encourage you to read a book called Man's Search for Meaning by Victor Frankl. We got a chance to actually meet Victor Frankl when we were in Vienna. He is credited with what's called the third school of psychotherapy. He created what he called logos therapy. Logotherapy is the idea that if you know why your life, why you have life, then you have meaning, right? The meaning for why, the meaning of life is to answer why, to find out the knowledge of why. And he loved to quote Nietzsche, famous philosopher who always said, anyone, you get the quote right, he who has a why to live can bear almost any how. It's that he who has the why, knows the why to live, has a why to live, can bear almost any task. And bear it for Victor Frankl did. Victor Frankl was Jewish in the 1930s in Vienna, Austria, in the Anschluss, when the Nazis came bowling through, and what they do with the Jews, they wrap them up and beat them along with them and took off Auschwitz. He lost his entire family in Auschwitz. They were all killed. He was the lone survivor of his entire family. But he survived. And through that turmoil, he developed the theory that if you know the why, if you have a why for your life, you can bear almost any doubt. And that's why my prayer for you is that you understand the why. Or at least accept that someone else has the why for you. And that's God. And that's God. I'm going to get Bobby and Chris to pass out some cards. And we're going to have a prayer time here in just a little bit. We're not done yet. We're getting close. But I'm going to pass out some cards. I want you to take these cards. And on these cards, there's two statements. One says, I am rejoicing because, and one says, I am struggling with. Okay? I am rejoicing because, and I am struggling with. The sermon title this morning, just hold on to that, and you'll understand as we go through this, what I want you to do with this today. The sermon title this morning was the D word, right? We don't talk a lot about the B word, at least we don't talk a lot about the B word in terms of each other. We talk about the B word as kind of a separate concept. The why is directly related to the B word. Why are you here? Why am I here? Why do we do this? Why do we get up to crack of dawn and put our clothes on and take another shower, or sometimes skip a shower, and drag ourselves and five kids fighting and kicking and get them to church? Why do I take an extra couple of arthritis pills because I know my leg is not going to be moving normal and get ourselves out of bed and drag ourselves up here? Why? Why do we do it? And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of times I don't know why. Maybe there's sometimes a guilt because I'm just like, if I don't, who's going to call me? Maybe it's not my job, so maybe I ought to be here. But why? I mean, we all have those struggles. Sometimes it's just a little too much last night to keep us from being here this morning, right? But why? If you know the why, we can bear almost any how. And the real thing is that the how becomes even so much more important. The D word is this. We are here for one reason. It's the D word. What Jesus told us. Go and make disciples. Disciples. Now we've heard the D word before. We've heard the disciple word, discipleship, go and make disciples. But I want to challenge you. What does that mean? What does it mean? If I was going to put you on the spot and say, what? Give me a definition for disciple. If I put my phone off here, okay, I want you to give me a definition for the word disciple. Okay, but I put my hand down all of a sudden. I'll read my card. I'm sorry, who talked to me? Yeah, nobody wants to answer that. What is the definition of disciple? What does it mean? What does it mean to be a disciple? A follower of Christ. To be a follower of the cross of Christ. Here's the deal. Jesus came. Back up a little bit. We are to be followers. Are we not? We're to be a follower of Christ. What does it mean to follow Christ, to follow God? See, I don't think God made a mistake in this. I think he was preparing us for it. But ever since Adam and Eve, God has done all kinds of things. And we have bungled the follow thing all the way from the start. All the way from the start. He sent us patriarchs, great men, great father figures for us to follow. And what do? We ignored them. We built towers of arrogance. We went off in the other direction. He sent us judges to judge people and to be great minds and wisdom. And what did we do? We ignored them. We continued in our ignorance. He sent us prophets for us to follow the example, to teach us, to tell us what we do with the prophets. We killed them. We killed them. He gave us the written word. He gave us word on stone, written with his own hands, so that we would follow it. And what did we do? We made a mockery of it. We turned it into legalism. We buried it in the temples and we forgot about it. He sent more prophets to us. And what did we do? We killed him too. Amen. He sent a son. He sent a perfect son. God in the form of a man that lived among us. And by the way, we killed him too. Did we not? And then he raised him. And he said, okay, this is the one I want you to follow. This is the one that you can follow. Yeah, Moses was great. David was wonderful. All the prophets, all the leaders, all the kings, they were wonderful and great and great examples, but they were all imperfect until he sent the son. And he said, this one is perfect. Follow that. This one was without blame. Follow him. This one has done everything you could ever dream of doing. He's been through all the trials and all the tribulations. He's had all the temptations of lust and all the temptations of money and power and all the things that you and I go through every single day. And he never flawed. He never failed. He never faltered one single time. Follow him. This is your example. Discipleship is about being a follower, an imitator, a copier of the perfect model. Right? So how did Jesus do it? If we're going to be disciples, how do we be disciples? How do we become disciples? We'll just be able to follow him, right? Jesus, and this is interesting. Jesus, I firmly believe, Jesus would have never, of course he did, but he would never have come in the 21st century, right? Can you imagine Jesus coming in the 21st century? What we would expect him to be in the 21st century? He would be like, first of all, he'd have like a late night infomercial, right? You know, and he'd be like, hey, I've got salvation. Let me show you all that. And then he'd write like a couple of books, become bestsellers, and then he'd have like a YouTube channel, and he'd have a whole website, and all this kind of stuff, and he'd be like, oh, what's he doing? But that's not what he did, because that's not following someone. He came, I think, at the perfect time. And he didn't come and say, here's my book, Jesus or Salvation for Dummies. Right? That's what we want to do. Yeah, let's write a book called Salvation for Dummies. It's a 10-step point. Right? It's easy. Let's do it. Come on, let's read. No, he said, look, here's what I want to do. You come with me. You follow me. Not go buy my book. Not go read what I've written. You knew you thought we had a lot of No, he said, follow me. Walk up to Peter and Andrew and said, follow me. And they dropped what they were doing and they walked with him. You see, following him was not a, hey, guess what? I want you to be like me, so I'm going to call you. You want to call me? I'll call you. I'll give you my name, right? I'll give you my name. You be little Jesus. Or you be a Christian. I'm the Christ. You follow Christ. You be a Christian. Now you're a Christian. Is that right? Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, we'll see you next week. Have fun. Yeah, bye. No. He said, hey, follow me. Come with me. Jesus lived with his disciples. He invited the joy of a wedding in Galilee and experienced the wedding and the joy of that with his disciples. He took him to the house of Lazarus, and he cried with them in the agony and pain of losing a loved one. He took him to a field, to a little mountain, and watched them witness 5,000 people. I don't think I would be there at that time, 5,000 angry, hungry people, right? But he had them along with him, and they experienced that with him. They experienced the good and the bad that Jesus went through all the way to the end. Because that's what it takes to be a disciple. To experience. To share. Boy, wouldn't you love to be able to spend the time around the campfire with Jesus one night and just let him tell you his stories? And go, you know, Jesus, I know we're all like 31, 32-year-old guys, but have you ever wondered, I mean, you know, this girl I dated, and I wasn't real sure back in Galilee, I struggle with that. What do I do, Jesus? And let him and Jesus talk to you about it? Because you know he had the same struggles. We're told he had the same fears, he had the same struggles, he had the same experiences that we did, so that we could benefit from them. So we know we have a God who knows what it's like to be us. Not some God up on high who we've never seen, made of some kind of strange material, but someone who is like us, who lived like us, who felt like us, experienced like us. So then, fast forward, what happens? Jesus is ascending into heaven and he says, go, you folks, go, my church, go and make disciples of the entire world. How? Just like he did. Just like he did. Sharing with one another. This morning, many of you took advantage of being here for our breakfast with the Watchman on the Wall. We kicked off our Watchman on the Wall. We paired up young kids and some of you who don't have kids anymore so that you can share life with them.
Not so you can just say, hey, I'm going to pray for you once a week and have prayer. Or say, hey, you go ahead and see it.
No, we want you to share life with them.
Praying is great. Don't think I'm just getting prayer. Don't send me a letter about that. Prayer is wonderful.
But we want you to live life with them too.
You know what the watchman actually did? You know what the watchman were? The Bible says, I'm going to set watchmen upon your walls, Jerusalem, and they will never be silent day or night, yelling out, warning, not just the bad things that are happening, but the good things as well. The watchmen were the ones who saw the army returning from battle, and they're the first ones that said, rejoice, we have victory! And the city erupted into joyous celebration. They're also the first ones that said, watch out, we've got the enemy coming! But here's the deal. A lot of times we want to be watchmen and say, hey, let me tell you what's wrong with us, right? And then that's all we want to do. Right? Well, that's my job. That's my job. I'll take what's right and wrong with it. That's not what watchmen did. You can see. That's not what they did. Watchmen alerted of what the good was. They alerted of what the bad was. And if it was bad, they said, hey, something bad is coming. And they came down off the walls and they joined the people of the city and they went out together, three or four of them, and they fought the battles together. So they were all ready for it. That's what we need to be. We need to be watching. We need to say, you know what? I've seen the enemy. Let me tell you what the enemy is, and then let you and me and somebody else, let's go outside of the camp, Hebrews 13. Let's go outside of the camp and fight the enemy directly. Because the three core chain of cords is not what we broke. Let's band together. I can't do it by myself. This is in the house. Shorter. We've got to go out of the camp and fight these battles together. Now, what does that mean in a practical sense? It means we have to let down our guard because we are the guards. Okay, we are the watchmen. And we have to let down what we want to protect ourselves because if we try to protect ourselves, we can't protect others. We are in this struggle together. We are in this battle together. I told you all ago, I said, when you do this thing, you're going to be target number one. Now, what are we going to do is watch him for her. We're going to stand up and go, hey, he's coming, he's going to, it's going to happen, man. It's going to, you're going to, good luck. Yeah, you're going to, it's going to happen. I'm in there. Well, tell me about it. Well, I said, hey, I'm in there. It's happening. You better be careful. What good does that do? What good does that do any of us? You got to stand up and say, let me tell you, Alondra. When I became a Christian, my family said goodbye. Let me tell you, Alondra, when I became a Christian, I had to stop doing some things like drinking that I was already doing. I had to end some relationships with friends that I had. And this is the way it went. But you know what, Alondra? When I became a Christian, it was magnificent. The joy of the family that embraced me was wonderful. I want to share that with you. When I became a Christian, I had someone that invited me out to dinner and had dinner with me and celebrated me. You know, that's what it's about. That's what we've got to do. That's what we've got to do. We've got to speak each other's language. That's what these cards are all about. That's what these cards are all about. Because in a practical sense, it means sharing the good and the bad and the ugly with one another. Because that's the only way we're truly going to make disciples of each other. We can teach each other. We can say, hey, here's the Bible, go read it. That's not making disciples of each other. Making disciples is helping each other to become more like me? No, more like Christ. Now that's a little distinction that sometimes we make a mistake of. We say, hey, look, I want you to be more like me. Yeah, that's not what it's all about. Because I'm horrible. I'm the worst of the worst. I'm like Paul. I'm horrible. Worst of the worst. I don't want to be with you anymore, but guess what? I wind up buying myself out at 17 times. Don't be like me. Don't be like me. Be like the one who lives with the Bible. Be like Christ, who dwells within me, whose spirit is given to me, that he may dwell within me, and you may see Christ in me through the love. I love Bob Goff. Bob Goff, amazing book. It's real simple, he says. Love God, love others, do stuff. Yes. Let me do stuff. Let me share the love that I have with you so that you can
see Christ in me, and you can be more not like me, but more like the one who lives within me.
I have a whole selection of scriptures up in the box, like, and what they are and what they aren't, all that kind of stuff, but I may have Bob will leave again, I'm just kidding. Here's my point. We have got to get beyond the fear of sharing with one another. We have got to get beyond the fear of you finding out what's really going on in my world and me finding out what's really going on in your world. We gotta get past that. We gotta share with one another. Because this morning, I know you got hurts. I know you came this morning with things on your heart that nobody else knows about. I did. I know you did too. But I also know that you came this morning with some joys. To tell you some things that happened this weekend, the most joyous things I've seen in a long time. Wow. Kids worshiping with one another. Kids moved to tears. Because of some of the bad things that they did in high school. Got to pray with a kid yesterday. I mean, just, this is a joy. You got to share it. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your card. I want you to write out. You pick one or the other. I pick both of them. I'm rejoicing because I am struggling. And know this, that every struggle that you share is going to be a rejoicing for somebody else. Because that's going to tell someone else, I'm not alone. I am not alone. You go ask Janelle Roberts back here. What is the biggest fear? You know what's the biggest fear when someone walks into an Al-Anon meeting or walks into an AA meeting the first time? What is their biggest fear? What? Speaking in front of people because they're afraid that they are different than everybody else, right? They're afraid that nobody else is like them. And guess what? Everybody in that room has had the same experience. You're pretty close. And when someone stands up and says, you know what? This is my problem. Everybody goes, ooh, I have that problem too. But if we never say that, you're going to be down that road inside the church. We're going to be down that road. Your struggle can be a great rejoicing. When someone stands up in one of these and says, this is my problem. Next person stands up and says, oh, I'm rejoicing that I'm not alone. I thought I was alone. I thought this was it. We're a family, folks. We're a family. When we get together, we reunion every Sunday morning. What do you do at reunion? You sit around and tell funny stories. Talk about the times that Jim did something really funny. Or the times that Ray did something really funny. But you also sit around and tell stories about what someone else did that's true. That's what I want to do today. It's pretty efficient. I want you to write those cards. You don't have to write one. This is strictly optional for you. If you have something on there, I want you to pass it to the center aisle. I want you to pass it to the center aisle. Chris and Bobby are going to pick these things up. Because here's the problem. We've been given one task in this world. And it's to be like Jesus. And it's to help others be like Jesus. And we have got to make a decision that we are going to do the things that it takes to encourage and to support one another. That Philippians verse we read earlier, I read at the very beginning, it says, the peace, the path of understanding. The verse right before that is very instructive. Because the verse right before the peace, the path of understanding, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Through prayer and supplication. We have got to be praying for each other. We've got to be encouraging one another. So that someone has the answer to this question, which is Psalms 94. Who will rise up and defend me against the wicked? Who will stand for me against the evildoers? That's the question that most people walk into this room and ask. Who is going to stand up for me? Who is going to rise up for me against the evil defenders? Well, it's God. Okay? And where is God who's within us? He dwells in us. He is in our midst today. It's God. And he works through us to accomplish his good will. Who will rise up in the midst? Who will rise up
and protect me against the enemy. That's the call from the kids to the watchman. Who's going to do it? And that's the call that we have today. So we're going to pull these cards together. Paul's going to sing a song for us here. We're going to sing an invitation song, and I'm going to sit right back down, and we're going to talk to you. But 2 minutes and 1 minute and 1 minute. We're going to Paul's going to sing a song. If you have any response, if you want to come forward, you have a response, that's fine with us as well. We ask you to do that now. Pass cards, if you have more cards, put back those words in the invitation song. Be with me, Lord. Okay, so this is what's different. We thought that was different. I've asked one of our elders, Bob Davis, to come up here with some of your cards. We're going to read from these things. Okay? And I want you to, you can make a note of this if you want to, or just in your head. We're going to pray about these all together at once. I want you to read from these things that have been said this morning, in responses to people that are struggling. Because if you're struggling with it, then you're rejoicing with someone else. When you're rejoicing, we can all share it with them.
Rejoicing responses, not words. These are more responses we get in Canada. This is great. Some of the struggles. Turning control over to God. I need to hold on to it. They also wrote in their rejoicing, I don't have to be perfect. I am forgiven. I need prayers, and I am struggling with the loss of my father. Rejoicing. I am a member of the most loving, caring congregation of believers I've ever known. My family is back together after 9 days of baptism this morning. I miss my best friend. Struggling. Remembering to turn to God. Completely and all the time. Struggling, slow illness from an illness. Struggling with hope.
I'm struggling with health issues. Pray for me.
Balanced physical conditions. My wife's health. America's damage through the politics and the election coming.
I'm struggling with getting my life on track, wanting to go all full in for Jesus, with my faith in Christ, and not wanting to look back on the past. I need someone to help me along the way.
I'm struggling with understanding why death happens to the young, but they also write rejoice that I woke up this morning and am able to attend worship with part of my family members and church friends.
I'm learning to live alone. I know that my life is in heaven, and I want to have the faith in God to strengthen me.
Frustration of physically not being able to do all I want to do and need to do. Struggling with physical health to fulfill spreading the gospel.
I'm struggling with knowing sometimes just how to pray.
Struggling with Ross being in the military.
I'm struggling with gentleness.
Struggling with my relationship with the Holy Spirit, but also rejoicing. My health is good. I live in a free nation. I have a job.
Here's what we can all identify with. I'm struggling with my anger. I need help.
Struggling with my own insecurities. The why so many innocent young lives have to be lost. The frustration of seeing our country go the way Israel did so many times. But rejoicing that even through the tornadoes and many losses we have had in this year, in this body, this past year, we are still there to support and uplift each other in His body. God be praised.
I'm rejoicing because I have a wonderful family. I'm struggling because I also need a friend outside of my family to spend time to talk with.
I'm rejoicing that my granddad's skin came back clear this last week.
I'm struggling with profanity, with anxiety, with worry and stress. But I rejoice because I'm alive, I have family, I have more than enough, and I am blessed. I'm struggling with the business of my life getting in the way of being able to be involved in doing things that are more important. But I'm rejoicing because I'm spending time with my parents and my family, and they choose to be close to me. Sound like you? These are us, folks. This is us. I want us to stand, if you will, where you are. Go ahead and stand back up. And I want you to grab a hand or a shoulder next to you. Because this is what being in the family of God is all about. Elijah's gotten a baptism by fire, so to speak, today. This is what it's all about, folks. This is what it's all about. Let's take a hand. We're going to pray.
Father, we come before you and we lay all of these struggles and praise at your feet. Father, we know life's hard. We know Christ struggled. He struggled with his disciples not being there for him when he needed the most. He struggled with what he tried to teach them and they seemed to be ignorant. He struggled with wanting to save us, but not wanting to follow your will. And he gave an opinion. And he was obedient to you. We also know that he knew he would struggle. And that as Ecclesiastes tells us that if two are together and one follows, the other one can pick him up and guide him. And as Christ did with the disciples, he sent them out two by two so they could rely on one another and pick the other one up if they stumbled. And Father, today, as we lay our heart at your feet, help us to realize that we have brothers and sisters right next to us that are struggling with the same things we are. That somebody is there to help pick us up, to see us through this. The tornadoes and the darkness and the storm. Father, help us to realize that you were there also. You were with Christ. You rose him from the dead. You lifted him up as our Savior. And he is there for us. All we have to do is go to him. And Father, as we finish this prayer to you, we pray that as a body, we understand that we struggle together, that we have opportunity to be strong together, so we can make disciples. In the name of Christ's name we pray. Amen.